The reading is from Luke 39 to 55 and can be found on page 1026. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Sorry, that's it, isn't it? At that, Mary visits Elizabeth. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Mary's song. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Please do have a seat. Thank you, John. Move this a little bit closer to you. Father, just take your word now, and I pray that you will just bless it to us. Lord, that you will begin and continue to transform our hearts and our minds and draw us closer to you. Amen. Well, good morning. We've been looking at some of the key figures in the Bible that lead us up to the birth of Jesus Christ. And these are individuals that were called in order to prepare the way for perhaps the greatest, if not the greatest, event in human history, when God became man. And it's a bit like a beam of light from the beginning of time, where God set out a plan to restore his relationship with us. Right back from the beginning, when Adam and Eve broke that relationship, God sent the light of redemption. And it was a light that started, would you believe it, in the Garden of Eden. Right at that point, God said, "I have a plan to save my people." And that light went out from that moment, and it got stronger and it got stronger. It started with Adam and Eve. It went on to Noah. It went on to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses, and it got brighter and it got stronger. And the people of God, the Jews, began to have hope. And gradually the mystery started to unfold. They didn't quite know how God was going to redeem man. But bit by bit, the mystery unfolded. And then the prophets came and started to declare that a Messiah would come. A Messiah would come and save God's people. And then suddenly, for 400 years, the light seemed to dim, and no one knew why. And then it burst forth, brighter than ever, like a laser beam, focused. And it came down, and it landed on one person, as bright as it could be. And that person was Mary. And we're going to look at the call of Mary this morning. And we're going to look at faith, hope, and love. The greatest calling, I would say, in the Bible of one individual. I love the short film that we saw a bit earlier. I promise every Christmas that I won't get caught up in the rush and the race of it. And I always seem to do that. And that's why it's so good to be here today, isn't it? To stop for a moment, to come to our carol service later and our nativity service in a few days, just to stop and make sure we keep the Christ in Christmas. Well, you know what you get? You know what you get if you take the Christ out of Christmas. What are you left with if you take the Christ out of Christmas? M&S. In our story today, we enter right into the middle of Mary's story. See, just before our reading, the angel Gabriel had come to Mary and said, Mary, you're blessed. You are going to carry the Son of God. And straight after that, Mary went off to see her cousin Elizabeth for 3 months. She went off to see because she had also heard that Mary was expecting. And when Mary goes to Elizabeth, we read of Elizabeth's reaction. How amazed Elizabeth is to hear this news that a saviour is coming. And right at this moment, we see God's love. We see God's love here in giving us freedom. God didn't force his will on Mary. Even at this most pinnacle time of history, God gave Mary a choice. Just like he gives you and me a choice. He didn't force his will on Mary. God's blessing on your life is good. It's pleasing. It's gracious. And yet he will never force himself on you. God will always wait for you. He will never force himself on you. But he so desperately wants that relationship with you. And that's what he did with Mary. But Mary said yes. Mary said yes. She said, let it be to me. I don't quite know how it's going to work out, but let it be to me. Luke 1:38, she said, let it be to me. And her yes changed the course of history forever. The greatest gift you can ever have at Christmas is Jesus Christ. I heard a story the other day of one little boy who was desperate for a watch for Christmas. And he was so desperate for a watch that he kept going on to his mom and dad about it until the point came where his dad said, enough. He said, if you mention watch again, not only will you not have a watch for Christmas, but you won't have any other presents. Well, the boy thought, this is something I need to take on board. Well, at their next meal, the boy said to his mom and dad, he said, just before we eat, he says, can we just pray? Well, his mom and dad thought, this is slightly strange. But they went, yes, of course, if you want to pray, you can pray. Well, he said, just before we pray, can I give a Bible reading? And he says, I want to read from Mark chapter 13, 37. Jesus said, I've told you once and I'll tell you again. Watch. So Mary, what do we know about Mary? Mary was a teenager at the time. She was a teenager. She didn't come from a prestigious family. She lived in not a wealthy area at all. But God is like this. He calls men, he calls women, he calls young, he calls old. And it is not dependent on their social standing, how wealthy they are, how clever they are. In fact, actually, God chooses those who probably aren't going to take the glory for themselves, who can't stand there and go, well, it's all because of my own talent. He calls all people. And he called Mary. And Mary's yes changed the world. The early church called Mary Theotokos, and it means God-bearer. She was to bear the Son of God in her womb. And this is truly unique about Mary. This is something we can't mirror. We can't copy. She is the mother of God. No one else is going to be the mother of God. And together with the Holy Spirit and her DNA, Jesus was born. And Jesus had her DNA. He would have potentially looked like her, had some of her characteristics. It is a mystery, but there is still a very human aspect to this. So Jesus would have been like her. Mary brought him up, trained him, educated him for 30 years. She was the main female influence in his life. And if you read about this, you can see that Mary changed the course for women in history at this point. You see, women weren't given a great place in society at this time. They were very much looked down upon. They were seen as belonging to their husbands. They were not really listened to or given much attention. The very fact that God chose to be born of woman, as Paul says in Galatians, changed society. We look at characters in the Bible, and quite often we can imitate these characters. And Mary is someone we should imitate. She's like a mirror the church should look into in order to understand how we are to be. Paul says, I imitate Christ, imitate me. And we can learn something from Mary. She is a model for us. Mary is unique, by the way, in all the characters. She's the only person that was there at the incarnation. She bore Jesus in her womb. She was incarnate. She was there at the Passion, at the cross. We read in John that she stood 2 or 3 feet from the cross looking up at her son. And she was there at Pentecost. Luke says in Acts, they were all gathered in one place with the women and with Mary. She was there, all three key redemptive pinnacle points of our history. And on each of these occasions, we can learn something about Mary. Let me try and move that on. At the incarnation, we learn that Mary is a model of faith. She is a model of faith at the incarnation. Mary trusted God even when the circumstances were not good. But have you ever asked, why Mary? Why was Mary chosen to carry the Son of God? You see, the Jews looked forward to a time where God would send a Messiah. They were waiting for someone to come and rescue them. And many of the women at that time would have wanted to have been the mother of the Messiah. What a privilege that would have been, to be able to carry the one that was going to come and free Israel. But obviously, these were married women. You would not have been wanted to be found pregnant and unmarried in this society. Mary was a teenager. She was unmarried. She was engaged to Joseph. But the angel said to her, Mary, you're going to be with child. Can you imagine what she would have thought, perhaps? Perhaps her first thought was, well, that's my engagement down the pan. No one else was going to marry her with someone else's child. And yet we don't read of any challenge from Mary. She doesn't even say to Gabriel, would you go and have a word with Joseph and just soften the blow a little bit? Her family would have been so disappointed. To be honest, she could have been kicked out on the street. It would have been such an embarrassment for her family. And if those two things weren't bad enough, to be honest, she could have been killed. She could have been stoned for being pregnant. And yet with all this, Mary was willing to say, I am the Lord's servant. I am willing to do whatever you say. There is a model of faith, of trust. She was the first person to believe, having not seen. Do you remember what Jesus said? Blessed are you who believe and have not seen. Mary was the first to believe and yet did not know what was going to happen to her. But she had faith to believe. Now, our faith, remember, doesn't mean we have to be unquestioning. I imagine Mary was asking all sorts of questions, wrestling with all sorts of thoughts. But do you remember what was said about Mary when the angel told her she was going to be with child? Mary, it says, treasured these things in her heart, and she pondered on them. And guys, I tell you, it's a great thing to do. I've been a Christian 35, 40 years, and I have so many questions still. But I've learned not to stress and to struggle. I've learned to treasure them up, to ponder them, to rest in God and let Him work within me. That's what Mary did. She pondered these things in her heart. So Mary is a model of faith. Mary is also a model of hope. Mary was a model of hope. And she was a model of hope at the Passion, at the cross. When Jesus was a baby, he was taken to the temple. And a chap called Simeon prophesied over Jesus. And when he had done that, he looked up at Mary. And he said, Mary, a sword will pierce your own soul. Mary, a sword will pierce your own soul. And of course, we know that happened, don't we? When Jesus was taken to the cross, when she saw her son on that cross, that sword pierced her soul. And she was in Jerusalem, don't forget, at the time. She would have seen everything, the trial, the flogging, the crucifixion. Every parent knows that the worst thing, perhaps, that you can see with your own child, with your own children, is to see them suffer. And here is Mary standing just a couple of feet from the cross, looking up at her son in this dignified silence, this model of hope. But why hope? Well, Abraham was a model of hope. You remember him and his wife Sarah? They had a miraculous birth. They were too old to conceive. And yet, they did. And when the time came where Abraham thought he was going to lose his one and only son, we read that against all hope, in hope he believed. Against all hope, in hope he believed. Napoleon Bonaparte said, leaders are dealers in hope. Don't get the H mixed up for anything else. But leaders are dealers in hope. But not just leaders. Every Christian, you and me, are dealers of hope. And following Mary, no matter how bad things get, no matter how tough it is for us, we should never be without hope. And this is unique in our world today. Every day I watch the news, and I see a world that desperately needs hope. Just as we need oxygen to breathe, the world needs hope to live. And it is your job, my job as Christians, to deliver hope. And we have hope because Jesus rose from the dead. We have eternal hope. We are givers, dealers in hope. So Mary is a mirror, a model of faith. She is a model of hope, and she is also a model of love. Mary is a model of love, and she was a model of love at Pentecost. At Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, Mary was there when God's love was poured out, when the Holy Spirit came. Romans 5 says that the love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. And the Holy Spirit pours out unconditional love. And what we saw at Pentecost was this pouring out of love. But Mary was different. Mary was different. Mary had already had her Pentecost. Well, when did that happen? When did Mary have the Holy Spirit? Well, it happened when the Spirit came upon her. Luke 1:35 says that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born, who will be born, will be called the Son of God. Mary was filled with the Spirit right at that moment. And everywhere she went, she affected people. Do you remember the reading we just read, John read to us about Elizabeth? When Elizabeth came into the presence of Mary, she was filled with the Spirit. And even the baby in her womb jumped. She affected people with the Holy Spirit. And this is what happens when we are full of the Spirit. We affect people. God's love is shed. And our job is to share God's love, as Mary did. As Jesus was physically present in Mary, so the Holy Spirit from Christ is present in us. She was a model of love. We are carriers of God's Holy Spirit. You are a carrier of faith. You are a carrier of hope. You are a carrier of love. And our job is to bring faith into a world that's full of fear. It is to bring truth in a world that says there is no such thing as absolute truth. We are to bring light in darkness. We are to bring healing in a hurting world. We are the hope. And that's unique to us, to the church. Every time you go to your workplace or in your family or your friends or your community, we are bringers of hope. That's what we are called to be. You are modeling Mary wherever you go. But Mary always points to Jesus. Always points to Jesus. And her faith was ultimately in Jesus. Do you remember what she said in Jesus' first miracle when he turned water to wine? Where the servant said, "What do you want us to do?" And Mary said, "Do whatever he tells you. Trust in him," she said, "because I trust in him." Her hope was in Jesus, in the resurrection. We've just been watching our family videos again. We're transferring them from our video onto digital because we thought we'd better do that before we run out of anything to play these DVDs. And we were watching our children. They're growing up now. We were watching them as children, babies, and we were watching them when they were first born, or we first held them in our arms. And I remember holding Toby, our eldest, when he was first born, and thinking, how could I love anything more than this unconditional love? And then we had our second child, Ben, and then we had Jessica, and there it was again. When you think you can't love anymore, you have this unconditional love once again. And these children are just babies. They haven't done anything. They hadn't earned it. They don't deserve it. They haven't done anything to earn our love. And yet there it is, this unconditional love. And God's love is the same for us. It's unconditional. We don't and can't do anything for it. We have to accept it. He loves you as you are. And he calls for you to come like Mary, so that you have hope and faith. As we go into Christmas, as you go into the new year, you can go with hope and with faith and with love. Like Mary, we can be full of faith. Like Mary, we can be full of hope. And that's the message of Christmas. We are a people of hope and of faith, no matter how tough it gets. So I pray for us this Christmas, like Mary, we hold on to that. Be encouraged. Whatever you're going through, God is in complete control. He knows all things. He is providential. He knows all things. Trust him. Have hope. Father, I pray today for all those who may be struggling at work, at home, maybe with finances, maybe with health, whatever it is. For those people here today who their minds are just racing,
I pray right at this moment, through the power of your Holy Spirit, you will bring a peace, a calm, to know that you are a God of unconditional love, that they have hope because you are hope, that there is life after death. And we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.